Good morning. Today's daf in Yom Chav Tes. We are on Chav Ches Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We are starting at the two dots with the words Masya ben Shmuel. Gemara went off on a little bit of a tangent yesterday. The Gemara described the identification of dawn in the Beis Hamikdash, so you can shech the carbon tamid. We opened up yesterday the third parak of the Masechta, in which we went through the Seder Avodah. Now, Seder Avodah probably every single day, but again, as I pointed out yesterday, we're going to be transitioning into Yom Kippur, which makes sense. We're learning Yuma, so it would make sense. But at the same time, however, the second parak was a bit of a deviation from the Seder Avodah Yom Kippur. But now we're back, and so here in the Mishnah, so we're describing now the time to shecht, which is going to be it's before Netzachama. It's obviously after dawn, so that it's daytime. So we can shech the carbon tamid. The Mishnah describes a conversation that takes place in terms of identifying that this is in fact daytime. In other words, is it light outside? That's a simple question with a simple answer. Although it's simple question, simple answer, the Mishnah's back and forth is not super clear. According to Masip ben Shmuel, Omer, so he would say. Now it's a pronoun. So, well, like all pronouns, it becomes a little bit of an ambiguity. Who's the he that's talking? Haro Omer Barkai. I'm sorry. Masim and Shmuel Omer Heir Pnei Kol Hamizrach Ad Shebechevron. Vehu Amar Hein. So, is the light all the way to Chevron? And he said yes. Okay. Who's asking? Who's answering? Now, remember, there's basically a conversation taking place between the person who's on the watchtower, if you will. It's not exactly the watchtower, but you get my point. He's up. He's somewhere up top. And there's someone below who's trying to get the information and pass the information along. So who's asking the question? Who's answering the question? So that's the first part of today's daf. We're just going to clarify that line of the Mishnah. So Masi ben Shmuel Amar v'hu Amar Hein. My man Amar Hein. Who's saying yes? Okay, simple question. How is the dialogue working? So Ile mahaktikaya igra. So the Gemara says, so it's the person up top, right? So the Gemara says, Hu chalam hu mafshir. So he's the one having the dream. He's interpreting the dream. It's an expression. It basically means, I don't understand. He's having a conversation with himself. So, right? So, is it light outside? Yes. Okay. That's not communication. That's just simply having a wonderful conversation with yourself. And the Gemara says, and I can't imagine. So, Ela Hachtikai Aram Menayada. So what? He's asking the person down on the floor, is it light outside? You're right now at the vantage point. You're the one who is higher. You're the one who's able to know this information. So why are you asking the one that's below? So, Ibai Sema Hachtikai Arav Ibai Sema Hachtikai Igor. So the Gemara says, look, we can understand the dialogue, and the truth of the matter is that we can understand the dialogue in one of two directions. Ibai se mahachtekaya igra could either be talking about the person who is at the higher elevation. So amr iwe er pnei kol hamizrach va'amr le hachtekaya ara ad shebechevron. So what we could understand is that the person at the higher elevation says, her kol pnei hamizrach, the entire eastern horizon is bright, meaning we're at dawn already. The person below is now asking the question, Acha b'chevron, or can you see as far as Chevron? Amalei iwehein, and he says yes. Good, that's one way to understand the dialogue. Alternatively, ibai zemahachtekai ara amar iu heir pnei kol hamizrach. So now, in terms of the punctuation, we'll put a question mark after the words heir pnei kol hamizrach. That's a question that's being posed from the person on the ground to the person on the higher elevation. Is the entire eastern horizon bright? And Amrle Achabachevron, and Achabachevron is now a response. Yeah, not only is it bright, it goes all the way up to Chevron. So the Amrle Hain, and he says, good. You're right, Hain over here means, okay, good. Like I accept, I confirm. Okay, good. So there are a couple directions in terms of how we can understand the dialogue between the two. Velama Hutzrichulakach. The Gemara now wants to know, what's the need for all this? Meaning, as we pointed out in the Mishnah yesterday, that's a lot of dialogue. It's not a lot of dialogue, but it is very formal. They're addressing each other, seeking confirmation, and what happened? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what happened. So the what happened was is that there was an accident once, meaning that it was before dawn. They shechted the carbon tamid, and it turns out that they shechted it too early. And you shecht the carbon too early, it becomes pasul, and therefore they took it out to the base of Sreifa. Good. So there was an accident once, and so once where there was an accident, so therefore they enhanced communication with a formal Q&A, and good, that's what happened. Now, if you remember in yesterday's Mishnah, what exactly happened? So in terms of just one more detail, and that is that the moon was out, and since the moon was out, so they confused the moonlight with the sunlight, And so therefore they thought it was dawn. And meanwhile it wasn't dawn, the moon was just out. Okay, so the Gemara says now, Umi Michlaf. So the Gemara says, okay, now I'm confused by the story. The Hatanya Rebbe Omer Eino Domech Timud Shalavan Latimud Shalchama. You really can't confuse moonlight and sunlight. Tima Shalavana Mitamerva Ola Kamakel. As far as moonlight is concerned, so literally go straight, like a staff. And Tima Shalchama Mafsia Lakan Lakan. When it comes to the sunlight, so it basically shoots off in various directions. So how are they confusing moonlight and sunlight? So Tandebe Rebbe Yishmael Yamamuna Yamafsia Lakan Lakan. So the, and so the, to which the Gemara says that it was, Just give me 1 second. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I had this terrible feeling that I skipped something. No, we're fine. Okay. So the Yom HaMunah HaYam Mavtiel L'Kan L'Kan. It was a cloudy day, and therefore it goes in different directions. Since it goes in different directions, so the Gemara says the Gemara says that the that they are not they're not that confusing. I'm sorry, they could be confused one with the other. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, anyway. So, Amara Papa. So, to which the Gemara says, okay, now that we're here, so the Gemara now is going to make a number of comments. Fine. So the moon and the sun were in fact Okay. I'm sorry. I'm back. So now that we're here, so the Gemara says that we are we understand now how you can confuse one light with another light. Sunlight, moonlight are usually not confusable, but on a cloudy day they're confusable. Okay. So Amar Papa Shmamina. So the Gemara says okay. So Rav Papa says good. So from here, a couple of observations, one having to do with light, and then Gemara is going to go off on a little bit of a tangent. So Shmamina Yuma De'iva Kula Shimsha. So he says if it's a cloudy day, so basically Kula De'Shimsha, you're getting the full effects of the sun. In other words, don't think that just because it's a cloudy day that the sun's not out there, the sun's not going to affect you. It is out there and it is going to affect you, and it's just as potent, it's just as strong as if there were no clouds over there. Okay. Gemara's a little bit ahead of its time in terms of UV radiation. Fine. It's really strong. Lemainaf gemina, l'shuchei aris. So first of all, if you're putting out the heights, and it's a cloudy day, don't think to yourself, so what's the point? In other words, you lay out the heights so they can be dried by the sun. Sun's not out there. No, the sun's out there. In other words, even on a cloudy day. And inami, also, we can go back to our Gemara in Pesachim. Our Gemara in Pesachim says that when you bake the sun, you cannot bake the sun in direct sunlight. And now, even in indirect sunlight, meaning even if it's a cloudy day, you still can't bake the sun. The sun is going to provide extra heat, accelerate the chimutz process, and so therefore you can't bake directly under the sun. Good, and even on a cloudy day, that's a second nafkamina. I'll add a third nafkamina. You got to put on sunscreen. Okay, I know the Gemara doesn't say it, but it could be another basic idea over here. In that, on a cloudy day, you're still getting the full effects of the sun. Amar Rav Nachman Zuama Deshimsha Kashi Mishimsha. So the Gemara now is going to go over derivatives that are stronger than the original. So the Zuama Deshimsha. So the Rashi describes the Zuama Deshimsha as basically the heat that comes from the cloudy day. So it's stronger than the actual sun itself. And the Gemara says, I'll give you a way to think about it. And that is that let's say you have a barrel, there's vinegar in the barrel. So, it's really fermenting inside. And then what you do is you just poke a single hole in there. So you poke a single hole in there. So now all that strong, strong odor and aroma, is now going to go out through that single hole. And it's going to be really intense. The same thing with a cloudy day. So in other words, the sun is poking through, but it's poking through, quote unquote, these small holes. And so therefore, you're getting an intense version of it. Another point, which is pretty similar. Shavrire deshimsha, kashim deshimsha. It sounds like from Rashi, we're talking like occluded sunlight. Okay, it's similar to the cloudy day description that we had just moments earlier. Okay, so if you have an occluded sun, so it's worse than the actual sun itself. V'simancha, dilfa, and a good way to think about it is basically a drip. If you have a whole gallon of water coming on top of you, good, you can handle it. But if it's one drip going on one direct in one spot, you know, unfortunately, kind of like torture. So it's going to have a much more intense effect on you. And the Gemara says it's the same thing when the sun is blocked and you can only see part of the sun. So that part that you can see, it's going to be really intense. Okay, we had this not so long ago. We had a solar eclipse. And they tell you not to look at the sun. And meanwhile, you're thinking, most of the sun is covered. It's fine. And meanwhile, the occluded sun, so that was part of the sun that you could see, so it's going to be even more intense. We're on the top of Chav Tesem and Aleph. The Gemara continues. Here, Hure Avera Kasher, Kasher Me Avera. Again, derivative is being stronger than the source. So you're thinking about Avera, so that's worse than the Avera itself. What does that mean? So first of all, when the Gemara says the word Avera and it's unqualified, so it is probably talking about sexual promiscuity, and Rashi over here says that's correct. That's exactly what we're talking about. Rashi on the top writes, Hiru Avera, Tavas Nashim Kashim, Lahachish es Besari Yosem Agufa Shalmaisa. So in terms of what weakens you, now Rashi over here describes weakening you physically, but probably what Rashi means by that is that the effects of having Hiru Avera, thinking about sexual immorality is worse than actually having sexual immorality as well. And the Gemara says, "V'siman charecha debisra." And again, just a way to think about it, like a model of this idea would be the aroma that comes off of roasted meat. Right, you're roasting the meat. The smell is wafting. You're not actually eating it, but you're smelling it, and it has an effect on you. Right, you know immediately when your neighbor's barbecuing. And usually I'm that neighbor. So good. So the same thing with Hiruhuri Avera, meaning the thoughts about it are going to entrap you and affect you and really play a strong role in creating its effects. Obviously, all of them being negative effects on you more than the actual Avera itself. Shili Dekaita Kashim Ikaita, couple more of these derivatives being stronger than the source. So the end of the summer is worse than the summer itself. And the Gemara says, and Simancha, Tanura Shagira. And the Gemara says, and I'll give you a way to think about it. And that is the oven already has been heated up. So now you want to heat it up again. You don't have to do much to heat it up again. So by the end of the summer already, the sun's been beating down the entire summer. And by the end of the summer, just a little more sun. And, right, we saw this. You get fires up there, right? You're at the end of the summer and everything's already good and hot. And just a little bit more heat and it's really hard. The ishta de sitva kashimi de kaita. A fever in the winter is worse than that in the summer. Visimancha tanura karira, and the Gemara says, and again, a way to think about it is the cold oven. In a cold oven, what do you have to do in order to get the cold oven hot? You got to add a lot of fuel. In other words, you're already combating a cold environment. Same thing is true when it comes to a fever. If you're having a fever in the winter time, so if you're hot in the winter, so that means that it's a really strong fever. Already in the summer, you're hot already. So now, what is it going to take for you to feel a little bit overheated? Not that much. Okay. Migmar ba'atikasa kasha mechadata. As far as forgetting. So forgetting something that you once upon a time remembered, but you have forgotten is worse than, I'm sorry. Learning something, let me go in the other direction. Learning something that you once knew but have forgotten is more difficult than chadatan, than learning something anew. The idea over here is, now obviously, right, you do have competing gemaras on this idea. Obviously, when you are primed to learn something, that means to say that you've already had experience with it, and you already know it to a certain degree, and you happen to have forgotten a little bit, but you're basically getting a refresher. So that generally speaking is not so hard. However, I guess what the Gemara means over here is that you totally forgot it. Meaning you once upon a time learned it, you totally forgot it. So the experience of forgetting, the Gemara over here describes, is pretty hard. It's harsh and makes relearning it even more difficult. Masha ain't came when you're learning it now for the first time, that's going to be a little bit easier. Visiman chatina bartina, and the Gemara says, and again, just a way to think about it, another example of this would be, when it comes to, using cement. So you use cement that was already used once before, and you're trying to recycle cement, and I have no personal experience with this, so I'm reading the Gemara, but, and I understand what the Gemara is trying to say, but obviously I have no personal experience with this. But if you're trying to recycle cement, it's not going to be as good. Using a cement for a first time, that's going to be adhesive. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abau. So the Gemara just took us through a half dozen various derivatives being stronger than the original. Okay, but the Gemara now is going to return just for a moment back to this idea that we're looking for dawn. So, Amar Rabbi Abba, my time with the Rebbe, what's the idea behind the Shita of Rebbe? Remember, Rebbe said, Ein odam atimat shel levana latimat shel chama. Moonlight, sunlight, they're not the same. So the Gemara now wants to know, where is this coming from? Now, where is this coming from? So it's a funny question. The answer is, it's empirical. All right? In other words, Rebbe is making an empirical observation about sunlight versus moonlight. So what did Gemara now wants to know what the source is? Okay, but often is the time, meaning if you've done enough Gemara, you know that the Gemara thoroughly enjoys looking for a source of this in Tanakh. Meaning if we could find a source for this in Tanakh, even for those things which are empirical, so we'll do that. And that's exactly what the Gemara is doing over here. So Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Lamanatech, Alayelas HaShachar, 22nd Perek of Tehillim. Now the 22nd Perek of Tehillim is primarily dealing with Esther. We'll come back to that point in just a moment. But anyway, ma ayala zukarne mafasil sakana lakan. So right now we're assuming that the pasuk over here is describing the ayelas hashachar. Now an ayal, not to be confused with an ayal, which once upon a time I did that all the time. But anyway, an ayal, right? Some sort of antelope, gazelle, some animal like that. So ma ayelas, and the pasuk in Tehillim is clearly describing, comparing the ayelas and the shachar. So ma ayala zukarne masil sakana lakan. So when it comes to the female antelope, so its horns are shooting out in all directions. Af shachar zem afsil sakana lakan. So too the light of the shachar is going in every direction. So it's not like the moonlight, which is kind of like a single light. But the sunlight really bounces in all different directions. So now the Gemara says, look, we brought the 22nd Perek of Tehillim, so let's just spend a couple more moments with the 22nd Perek of Tehillim. First of all, a Masorah that we have, Rashi brings it down over here. And that is that the 22nd Perek is all about Esther. Take a look at Rashi right here. Rashi writes, Lama Nimshala Esther Ka'ayeles, Bemaseches Megillah Aminan, Esther Amra Mizmor Zeh. So Esther was the one who said this Perek in Tehillim. Now, it probably is a little bit confusing, and it's just in terms of the chronology and the history. So Esther, David HaMelech. So Esther is hundreds of years after David HaMelech, right? At least 400 years after David HaMelech. So what does it mean Esther was the one who said over this Perek in Tehillim? But once you're dealing with Nevuah, which is obviously David when he wrote down Sefer Tehillim, you have Nevuah. So fine, so time doesn't really become a consideration, and David could be writing it based on a Nevuah on the future. It doesn't mention Esther by name. So it could be that David's writing it down Alpi Nevuah. Could be that he knows what he's doing, what he's writing. He doesn't know what he's writing. Whatever the case is, but it's about Esther. And Rashi continues. Rashi says, Mizmor Zeh Kevin Shigil Abes Tzlamim. And Rashi says, and I'll tell you when this Perek was actually put down. Meaning, when did Esther experience this Perek in Tehillim? So she was going into the Beis HaTzlamim, she was going into the idolatry, meaning she was going to confront Achashverosh, and Nistalka Himena Shechina, and the Shechina leaves her. She's a Nevi'ah, right? The Gemara Megillah says there are seven female Nevi'ah, and she's one of them. So she's a Nevi'ah, she had Ruach HaKodesh. And what happens is that as she's now going through the idolatrous hallways, so she loses her Nevuah. She'ena Amra, Himena Shechina, Amra Keli Keli Lama Zavtani. And so what does she say? She says, Keli Keli Lama Zavtani. That is the first of the Psukim in the 22nd Perek of Tehillim. Okay, so it's such a powerful, strong image. But anyway, we're back to the Gemara. So Nam Lama Nimshla Esther La Ayala. So Esther being compared to an Ayala, why should that be? Lama Lachama Ayala Rachman Afsar Vechaviva Abala Kosha Vesha. So just anatomically, So it happens to be that the female antelope is always beloved to her husband, the way her anatomy is structured, so that it's always pleasurable for her and her mate to have intimacy. So kisha rishona, just like the first time. So afester haitza chaviv al chasherish kol shah vishah, kisha rishona. So that's why Achashverosh had such enjoyment with Esther. Now, granted, by the way, the Gemara is telling us very intimate details about the relationship between Achashverosh and Esther. So the Gemara says, but in that regard, that is one way in which Esther is compared to the Ayala. So Amar Rav Asi, Lama Nimshla Esther L'Shachar. Why is Esther compared to the Shachar? Again, with the basis, with the understanding that this parak is talking about Esther. So now let's go a step further. So why is she compared to a Shachar? Lama L'cha Ma Shachar. Sof Kol Alayla. Now the Shachar. Now, Shachar, we normally understand as morning. So why is the Shachar is the end of the night? Af Esther Sof Kol Hanisim. So the same thing is true regarding Esther, that she is Sof Kol Hanisim. She's the end of all the miracles. So the Gemara says, end of all miracles. Is that historically true? V'ha'ika Chanukah. What do you mean she's the end of all miracles? It's true. Purim is one of the last miracles that took place, but it's not the last. The last is going to be given to Chanukah. Chanukah is going to be the last Nes Nigla. Right, it's rather remarkable on Yom Yerushalayim, right? It also seems like an Eis Nigla, but anyway, B'Chanukah is the last Nes. So the Gemara says you're right, but Nitna Lichtov Kamrina. So the Gemara says yeah, but I'll tell you when it comes to Esther, so it was written down, and not only written down but canonized. And it was part of Tanakh. That's not true by Chanukah, right? Chanukah occurred during Bayis Sheni. During Bayis Sheni, there was no longer any Nevuah. So yes, there's historical record of what occurred on Chanukah, right? Say for Maccabee, and Josephus also. So there's historical record, but it's not canon. It's not part of Tanakh. Esther was a Nes that made it into Tanakh. So the Gemara says, yeah, Esther made it into Tanakh. You know what? That's a point of controversy. It's great. We don't think of it as a point of controversy because, of course, Esther is part of Tanakh. But, you know, the Gemara here is going to quote it. So the Gemara has a discussion / debate in terms of whether Esther should become part and parcel of canon. So, Hanich Lamandam Esther Nitna Likasav, Lamandam Esther Lo Nitna Likasav, Michael Amemar. So, you know, there's an opinion out there that says that Esther should not have been part of canon, right? In other words, you look at it. What is Megillas Esther? So it's a political thriller. No shame Hashem. It's an Igeres. And so there was a line of thinking that should not be part of, it shouldn't be part of Tanakh. Okay, so we happen not to accept that viewpoint. However, if you're telling me that she's compared to a Shachar because she's Sof Kol Hanisim, and we're qualifying Sof Kol Hanisim that was written down and being part of Tanakh, so the Gemara says that's a good point, but that's also a point of controversy. And not everyone agrees with that point. So the Gemara says, so Mokim Lak Rebbe Binyamin Bar Yafa. So the Gemara says, fine. So I'll take you down a different path. The reason why she's compared to Shachar is for the following. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rebbe Binyamin Bar Yafa, Amar Rav Elazar, Lama Nimshul, Tfilasim Shal Tzadikim, Ke Ayelas. So why is it that the Tfila of Tzadikim is compared to Ayelas? Lama Lacha Ma Ayala, Zukos Mancha Megadalos, Karnem Mavtilos. So you see that, just watch the horns of the, again, either it's an antelope or a gazelle, whatever it is. So watch the horns of it, and you'll see that it'll splay into different directions. So av tzadikim kozman shem marbim betfila, tfilasam nishmas. So too with that, when you have a tzaddik and the tzaddik is davening, so it's a more effective tfila. The tfila of a tzaddik is just a more powerful tfila. And Esther's a tzaddikus, and her tefillos are just simply more powerful than the tefillos of yours or mine. Okay, Adkan. That takes us on that small tangent. How did we get to Esther Malka? Right? How are we here? So we're here because the Gemara noted the mistake occurred in the Mishnah that there was they confused moonlight to sunlight. The Gemara just can't imagine how do you make such a mistake. Moonlight and sunlight are not the same. And the Gemara says, look, Rebbe's comment is moonlight is straight. And sunlight bounces in all different directions. They can't confuse it too. So the Gemara's answer was, yeah, it was sunlight, but it was cloudy. So on a cloudy day, sunlight and moonlight can become confusable. Good. That was the answer. As long as we noted that sunlight is is different. So then the Gemara says, and what's the source of Rebbe? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Ayelas HaShachar, the 22nd parak of Tehillim. Once we quoted the 22nd parak of Tehillim, so the Gemara just basically stops for a moment, pauses, and says, oh, by the way, you know that's all about Esther? And a couple of drushas that related to Esther. Okay. We're on Chavtas Amad Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the Amun. Shachros HaTamid Amos. Ilema Bishar Yemos Hashana Losagid Lav Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, okay. So I'm a little bit confused as a Gemara. And by the way, not that's important, but this was my confusion earlier. Like I was looking for this Gemara earlier. I thought I skipped it. Meanwhile, okay. I misplaced where the Gemara was coming up in today's daf. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara says, I'm a little bit confused about putting the mission together. Because if we're talking about the rest of the year, so why is the Mishnah mentioning the Kohen Gadol? Which, by the way, the Mishnah at the end mentions the Kohen Gadol. So it's talking about Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah is talking about Yom Kippur, right? Sounds that way. So Ela B'Yom HaKippurim. So the Gemara says, Mor Levana Mi'ika. So the Gemara says, okay, it's Yom Kippur. It can't be Yom Kippur. Because remember, what happened? What happened was is that we confused moonlight and sunlight. Now, if you know the pattern of the moon, and in Rosh Hashanah we're going to be discussing this in detail, but if you know the pattern of the moon, so you know that the moon is coming up in the morning at the end of the month, not the beginning of the month. So the beginning of the month, so you'll see the moon out there towards evening, not in the morning. Again, if you know the pattern of the moon, that's great. And if not, so first of all, it's simple observation. You know, just being an observant Jew, that's all you need to be. It's all you need to be. I'll describe it in much greater detail when we get to Rosh Hashanah. But meanwhile, basically the Gemara is saying, you know, you're not going to see the moon on Yom Kippur morning. Yom Kippur faithfully comes out on the 10th day of Tishrei every year. That's how it works. And so there's not going to be any moon in the morning. So how is it that you had the accident of the mistaken sunlight and moonlight on Yom Kippur? The two can't go hand in hand. So the Gemara says, okay, good, hachikamar. So the Gemara says, you're right. So what we have to do is we just simply have to parse the Mishnah. And that is, uva Yom HaKippurim, kiamar barak barkai, horita kohen gadol lebeis ha'tfila. So what you're going to do, after you're just going to segment the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about an accident that occurred not on Yom Kippur. It was some random month. It was towards the end of the month where the moon is out there in the morning. And so on that occasion, so they confused the moonlight and the sunlight like the Mishnah describes. And then what you're going to do is you're going to pause because as a result of that mistake, so then you have the formal dialogue of Barak Barkai, et cetera, et cetera. Then the Mishnah goes on to describe the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur having nothing to do with the error of the moonlight sunlight. Okay, good. That's all. So, Tani Avua de Rabbi Avin, Lo Zubavad Amru. Okay. So now, for the rest of the remainder of today's daf, so a discussion regarding karbanos that are shechted too early. And so the Gemara, to which the Gemara now is going to be describing, karbanos that are shechted too early. So, number one, we learned in our Mishnah that if you take the karban tamin and shechted before dawn, no good. The karban is going to be a disqualified karban because the karban tamin has to be shechted during the day. Okay, good. And it was an occasion where by accident they shechted the karban too early and it was taken out to the base of psul. Good. So, Rabbi Avin teaches the following. Avuah de Rabbi Avin teaches the following. Velozu bavad. Ketani. This isn't the only example. But ela af balikas ofa kamitzas mincha balayla tisareif. So I'll give you just other simple examples where, you do the avoda too early and so sreifa. So it has to be, disposed of. Literally burnt, but in other words, it's disqualified. Let's say the Malika Sa'of, when it comes to a bird, and the shechting of the bird, which is called Malika, where the Kohen is inserting his thumb into the back of the neck of the bird. In Chulin, we discussed it in detail, as we did also in other areas in Zvachim and in Menachos. But anyway, so the Malika of the bird, which is tantamount, which is equivalent to the shechting of an animal. And so that would be a case in which if it were done before dawn, so it's disqualified. Another example, kamitzas mincha. So buy a mincha, so obviously you don't shecht a mincha, it's a flower offering, but the equivalent of shechting a flower offering would be the kamitza. Taking your fist and putting it into the flower and taking out a fistful of the flower, that's the equivalency of shechita as it relates to mincha. Basically what we just did is that we pointed out that there are shechita equivalencies. by an animal, shechita, there is no equivalency. Shechita is the shechita. When it comes to birds, malika is the shechita. And when it comes to menachos, so komets is the shechita. But the basic idea is that it's always going to be that if I do that, if I do any of these actions before dawn, so it becomes disqualified. Now, Bisham alosof my dahavahav, so the Gemara says, look, when it comes to the malika self, I get it. It's an undoable act, just like you shecht an animal too early. So what are we going to do now? Okay, fine, we'll just do it later. Of course not. It's too late. The animal shechted. And the same thing is true with a bird. When you do the malika on the bird, that was a one-time opportunity. Now it's too late. You can't do it again. But elakomets nehadra v'neadar v'nikmitza biyamama. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? By the kmitza, I don't understand. Here, what happened? You took your fish to put into the mincha. You took out a komets of the flour, and it was too early. So I got this great suggestion, and it's simple. So take the fistful of flour, put it back into the mincha, wait till the right time, and do it again. Right? Basically, what Gemara is asking is it really an undoable mistake? You can get a do-over, can't you? So to which the Gemara's response is, no, you can't. So who tanila v'hu amarla? To which the Gemara says, nah, it is an undoable mistake. The klishars mekach nafila shalob is mano. So the Gemara says, look, because let's go over what happens when you take off the comets. So again, we haven't seen this in some time, just 2,000 years. So totally forgivable if we don't fully recognize what's happening right now. So let me try to give a description. So what happens is that the Kohen takes his fist, puts it into the mincha, takes out a kamitza, a fistful of the flour. Then what he's going to do is he's going to put that into a klisharis. Now remember, the best way to think about this is that it's really equivalent to shechita. When you shech the animal, what happens? So blood comes out of the animal, and you're collecting it in a klisharis. That's called Kabbalah Sadam. So too by the mincha, so obviously it doesn't operate in the same exact way, right? There's no shechting, but the kamitza is equivalent to shechting. And now what you're going to have to do is Kabbalah. You're going to take that fistful of flour and put it into another klisharis. And here's what we're saying. Once you take the komets and put it into another klisharis, now that komets has what's called kedusha saguf. It is now given the status of being a komets, and now what are you going to do? You can't undo that, because even though physically you could take that komets and put it back into the mincha, but really what you're doing now is you are trying to put back together something that does not belong. I'm saying this by way of analogy. It's oil and water. It's komets and shirayim. It's no longer the mincha that you started off with. And now what you can't put it back together again. Status-wise, you just put the komets and the shirayim back together again. The komets is now going to get blended in. It's a mess. You can't undo it. So the Gemara says, klishars mekash and afilo shalob is mano. And the chiddush goes like this. The fact that the komets goes into another kli and that it's mekadish it, that's ABCs. I understand for some people it's not. But that's ABCs. The chiddush of the Gemara over here is that even though you did it before the day began, remember, this was done too early. It was done before dawn. So even though you did it too early, still the point is, it's that it's going to imbue it with a kedusha saguf. It's going to get the status of being a komets, and therefore therefore you can't get a do-over. That's the chiddush. That even though it was kodem zmano. So meitzvah. So for the remainder of today's daf, what we're gonna see is that true? A kli sharis can imbue something with kedusha saguf at a premature point in time, and so the remainder of the Amud Beis today wants to know if this is in fact a correct statement. Is this accurate? So meitzvah, the Gemara challenges that klal kol akrab biyom kodesh biyom v'chol akrab b'layla kodesh b'layla v'chol akrab bein biyom bein b'layla kodesh bein biyom bein b'layla. So anything that's imbued with sanctity during the daytime, so if I put it in its klisharis, will be imbued with sanctity. And the same thing is true with something which is imbued with sanctity at nighttime. Rashi over here gives example, kolakar biyom kigon, menachos, lavona, dam, kitares. So various items that you put into a klisharis during the daytime, so that is going to be imbued with kedusha during the daytime. What about balayla? What are examples of layla? Kigon, Rashi, next Rashi. Minchas nesachim. So the libations that come together with the carbon, so they could be offered at night. So therefore, they're going to be imbued with kedusha even at nighttime. So ketani mia kol akrab biyom kadosh biyom biyom in belayla lo. And what comes out pretty clearly from this braisa is that the only time that a klisharis will invest the item that is placed into it is only when you put it in the proper time. It sounds pretty clear from the braisa that if I put something in a klisharis prematurely, it won't be imbued with kedusha. That's what it sounds like. So dilma inu karos lekarva vakarosh lipasal. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to say. We've said this already a number of times throughout Chas, and so here we get to review this idea again. And that is the following. A kli shares, if I put it in prematurely, so it won't be imbued with kedushas aguf. That statement is mostly correct, but not totally correct. In that, a kli shares prematurely will give it some status of kedushas aguf. Kedushas aguf is not binary. It's not either no kedushas aguf, now yes kedushas aguf. It's not. There are levels, gradations of kedushas aguf. So if I put something in a kli shares prematurely, so to give it the full status now where it could be offerable, meaning the kometz is going to go up onto the mizbeach. Yeah, the kometz is only going to go onto the mizbeach after it's put into a kli shares, imbued with the kedushas aguf. Now it's going to go on top of the mizbeach. That's true. But bechusar's man, but if it's premature, meaning it's prior to the morning, so it won't be given the full status where it's offerable. In fact, just the opposite. It's disqualified. However, it will obtain enough kedusha so that it's now eligible to become disqualified for those disqualifications that occur to items that have kedusha saguf. That is, to just quote the Gemara. Gemara says it so succinctly and much better than I did. So, eino kadosh likarev, ava kadosh lipasal. Kedusha saguf up to, in terms of being offered, so to that degree it doesn't obtain. Kedusha saguf now where it's eligible to become disqualified, to that degree it does obtain. And so the Mishnah that we just quoted is talking about the highest level of kedusha saguf. So there you have to put in the kli sharis during the daytime. But if I put in too early, so it won't obtain that degree of kedusha saguf, but it will obtain at least a level of kedusha saguf. So Mesa Reb Zera. So Reb Zera says, I don't think you're right. At least it doesn't seem that way from the following Mishnah. Seder is alechem v'sabizichim achar Shabbos v'hikter sabizichin b'Shabbos. So let's say I put the lechem upon him on the shochan on Sunday. Now at this point in time, we all know that was one day too late. The lechem upon him needs to go onto the shochan on Shabbos, and then it stays there for a week. Then what happens is that next Shabbos you take the two spoonfuls of lavona that are resting on top of the two columns of the lechem upon him. You burn that on the mizbeach, and now the lechem upon him is eaten by the kohanim. Fine. But what happened 1 week is that for whatever reason, the lechem upon him was not put on Shabbos. It was put on Sunday. So now the following Shabbos, it's only been sitting on the shulchan for 6 days. That's no good. So, v'hikter sabazichin b'Shabbos. And what happened was is that somebody forgot. And they took the bazichin and they burned the bazichin on Shabbos. Now the problem is that it did not spend the requisite time on the shulchan. It needs to be on the shulchan for a full 7 days. So that means to say now that the bezichin should not have been burned. So what and psula, and therefore it's no good. And Rashi does spend a little bit of time over here going over where the psula should be part of the girsa, should not be part of the girsa. I'll bypass that discussion. I'll mention it, but I'll bypass that discussion right now. Ketzad yaseh. So solution. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the solution is. So yinichen al Shabbos haba, she'afilu amda al shochan yamim rabim ein bekach klum. So what we'll do is that we'll just simply keep it on the shochan for one more week. So now by next Shabbos it will have been on the shochan, granted for a total of 13 days, but that's not a big deal. That's fine. Good. So so as long as it's sitting on top of the shochan, so the shochan gives it sanctuary. Right? I know I'm being a little bit cute with my wording, but the shochan gives it sanctuary. Much like we described the mizbeach. The mizbeach is able to afford and protect a carbon from certain disqualifications. So the shochan gives it a certain amount of protection. So, and ein b'kach klum, and there's no problem with that whatsoever. Okay. So, this is, and yeah, by the way, we're in other words, in the solution, so we're gonna skip a week with the lechem upon him. Meaning the Kohanim are not going to get a lechem upon him that week. Okay, it's called mazel. Anyway, what comes out from all this, however, the Gemara says, I'm certainly bothered, I'm certainly confused. Ve'amai, tikdosh v'tipasel. So the Gemara says You basically put it in a kli sharis, and shouldn't it now become eligible for disqualification? Meaning, by virtue of the fact that the Lavona has been sitting now in this bezichin at a premature point in time, so shouldn't it become disqualified? So Amar Rav, Amanda Kamosif, Shapa Kamosif. So Rav says, you know what? It's a good question. I really like that question. Meaning, you're telling me that putting things in a kli sharis prematurely, so it doesn't give it the full investment of Kedusha Sagov, but enough so that it becomes puzzle. So over here, with regarding the Lechem upon him, where the Lavona is sitting now in the Bezichin for 13 days, so shouldn't it become now eligible for disqualification? So, the Avuah de Rabbi, I'm sorry, so Mosef Kashaper Kamosef, Avuah de Rabbi Ava, Nami Masisa Kamar. So the Gemara says, and Avuah de Rabbi Avin, who quoted the Mishnah. So who quoted the above Mishnah. Meaning, he did quote a Braisa. So the Gemara says, so the truth of the matter is that it's not so much a question on the Amoraim. It's really much more a question on the Tanaim. So v'kasavra laylai mechusar zman, yom mechusar zman. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what we'll say. We'll say it like this. There's mechusar zman and then there's mechusar zman. And obviously, let me clarify. So there's a kind of mechusar zman where you're just talking about the night prior. So the night prior, so granted, of course, that's not the time to do the avoda, but mechusar laila, if all we're talking about is just simply the prematurity of nighttime prior to the day, that's not too far in advance. To the extent where if I put the carbon, or in this case, the comets in a kli sharis, it'll be imbued with a certain amount of kedusha. If we're talking about the kind of premature where it's a day in advance, and certainly two or three or four days in advance, it's so premature, we don't even view it as you putting it into the kli sharis prematurely. So there's the night prior, and then there's any time earlier prior. And the Gemara says, and that's the distinction to be made. And when it comes to the lechem upon him, so when were the Lavona put into the bazichin? Days in advance. That's not gonna imbue it with disqualification. It won't imbue it with the kind of Kedusha which will disqualify it. To which the Gemara says, okay, so far I'm with you, but kimate beshimsha tikdash v'ti pasel. So the Gemara says, okay, but Friday night. Meaning, fine. So the Lavona's been sitting in this bazicha now way ahead of time. And so I understand so that Sunday through Friday. So it's way too far in advance. It's not going to be imbued with any Kedusha. But now it's Friday night, the 13th day after it was placed in the bazich and in the spoons. So which is a kli sharis. So, and now Friday night. So now, aren't we basically putting it in at that point in time? And it shouldn't have gone in at that point in time. And so isn't it now going to be disqualified at that point in time? So I'm Ravina, Shekadam Vesilko. So Ravina says, okay, so you're right. So what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to take the Lavona out of the Bazichin on Friday night, and I suppose, put it back in on Shabbos day. Okay? So that's one possibility. And Marzutra, Vitema Rav Ashi, Amar, Afilu Tema, Bishlo, Kidam Vesilko. And the second solution of the Gemara is, according to the name of Rav Ashi, nah, you don't have to go that far. In other words, no, the Lavona could remain in the Bazichin. And Kevin Shesidra, Shalok, Mitzvah, So Nasa, Kimish Shesidra, Kof. In other words, what are we saying? We're saying that if I place a carbon in a kli sharis the night prior, so then it becomes eligible for disqualification. Meaning enough kedusha sagof in order to give it disqualification. Over here, that's really not what is happening. What's happening over here is that it was placed in a week earlier, right? Really, almost 2 weeks earlier. But it was placed in earlier. Friday night, there was no placement. What the Gemara is saying is that in order to be eligible for this kind of disqualification, where if I put it in the kli sharis on the night prior, so then it's going to be imbued with a certain amount of kedusha, so that it'd be disqualified, but I need an action. You have to place it in the bazichin. The fact that it was put over there, the Gemara's description over here, it's kamosha sidra kof, it's like a monkey put it in, meaning there wasn't any human intervention, human action, in order so that it can be imbued with enough kedusha, so that it would in fact become disqualified. So the Gemara says basically it's fine. It's fine that it's sitting there. It's fine that it has been sitting there. It's not going to become disqualified. It's not going to be imbued with the Kedusha so that it would be disqualified that it was Mechusar's man. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end. Let's quickly recap. We start off this morning going over the difference between sunlight and moonlight. The first discussion that we had was how exactly is that dialogue going between the scout and the person on the ground? So good. So the Gemara cleaned up the Mishnah and went over the possible dialogues that was said over. Next, we went over the confusion of sunlight and moonlight. Who's confusing sunlight and moonlight? The properties of sunlight and moonlight are different. So how can they be confused? To which the Gemara says it's a cloudy day. And the Gemara now described, you know, the sun on the cloudy day, it's pretty strong, right? Our mothers told us that. And they knew. In other words, the Gemara says, absolutely accurate. And the Gemara then went over a list, about a half a dozen items. I wrote down a half a dozen over here. So a half a dozen items where the derivative becomes actually stronger than the actual source itself. Cloudy day being one example, the Gemara goes through a list of six items. The Gemara wants to know, how do I know that sunlight kind of bounces in all different directions? So the Gemara says, we have a pasuk that proves it, the pasuk in the 22nd parak of Tehillim. And then on the Amud Aleph, you know, we quote the pasuk in the 22nd parak of Tehillim. It's really a good opportunity, great opportunity, to just give us a couple of drushas regarding that parak. Good. And we did. And the Gemara notes the relationship between that parak of Tehillim and Esther Hamalka. On the Amud Beis, which really, I know, obviously, starts on the Amud Aleph. But the discussion for the Amud Beis, one more quick discussion the Gemara had, and that was, how are we confusing moonlight and sunlight on Yom Kippur? Meaning the Mishnah was confusing. Because the Mishnah sounds like it's talking about Yom Kippur. It's mentioning the Kohen Gadol and talking about the confusion of sunlight and moonlight. In the first half of the month, there is no moon in the morning. That's a end of the month occurrence, not beginning of the month. So I don't understand the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, yeah, what you have to do is you have to break up the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not to be read as a single sequence. The Mishnah first is talking about a mistake that occurred some other occasion. And then the Mishnah goes on and talks about the Kohen Gadol. And finally, our last discussion of the day is that if I shecht a carbon too early, it becomes disqualified. If I do malik on the oaf too early, it becomes disqualified. And if I do kemitza too early, it becomes disqualified. To which the Gemara's follow-up question over there is, really? I got a great idea. Take the kometz, put it back into the mincha, and let's wait till dawn. And the Gemara says, no, it's too late. Why? Because once I took the kometz and put it into a kli sharis, it's now invested with Kedusha. It now has gained the status of kometz, and now it's too late. And the Gemara says, really? It's before day. How is it invested with Kedusha? And the answer is, the simple answer is, it's not that simple, but the simple answer is that it's mechusar laila. Yeah, but it's prior. It's only premature by one night prior to the day. That's not super premature. And therefore, being put into a klishar is going to invest it with enough kedusha, so it's gonna get some status of kedusha as a guf, eligible to become pasul. And the Gemara says, and contrast that too. If I put it a day earlier, certainly 2 or 3 days earlier, like the case of the lechem upon him, there it's not going to receive any investment of any type of kedusha whatsoever.